Cleveland's teams covered on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, WTAM 1100.
Wills Ways to Save, the deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News is in. We call it liquid gold. You love the taste of butter, putting stuff on your food. You want to put the good stuff on there. And Matt, you really have found the good stuff this morning, haven't you?
Oh, it tastes like butter, but good for your heart. Hands down, the most popular food ingredient deal I have ever featured in my entire life. Bill, I set up a listener poll and a viewer poll not too long ago, asking simply what do the important, wonderful people that keep us employed want? And I was expecting to collect more textbook requests, laptops, which I did last week, or headphones.
Yep.
This was the number one food request in Northeast Ohio. And I'm talking about macadamia nut oil.
Now, before we get to macadamia nut oil, olive oil has been extremely popular as a healthy oil, rich omega-3 fatty acids. Macadamia nut oil is even stronger, right?
It is. Olive oil has its wonderful benefits. So keep in mind, you are not supposed to cook with olive oil at high temperatures. I share studio space with the Food Network when I'm in New York City for Google, and we see it all the time. Chefs put whatever it is on their piece of meat, and then they put it onto a grill. When it comes to olive oil, this is not safe. It cannot sustain high cooking temperatures, and yet everyone does it. So macadamia nut oil is the one oil that can not only reach high temperatures, we're talking like well above grilling, smoking temperatures, it will not burn, but more importantly, it's better for your heart than any oil. And olive oil's got a great taste. Macadamia nut oil tastes exactly like butter.
You know, speaking of grilling, I do like asparagus and things, and I'm guilty as charged with the olive oil on the asparagus before I put it on the grill. I shouldn't be doing that because that flame does come up. So the macadamia nut's even better.
It is, yeah. And I was doing the exact same thing you were doing. The only reason I'm so passionate about this is I've actually worked with doctors who've tied into today's deal. Just a quick thing, a new book called Let Food Be Your Medicine, Dr. Don Colbert actually linked macadamia nut oil to possibly preventing dementia and Alzheimer's.
Oh,
and
wow.
Dr. Derek from USA Today ranks this as the number one heart-healthy cooking oil for grilling, cooking, skin, and hair improvement. I found the original. Again, the original comes from Australia. Have it, WTAM.com, keywords, ways to save. This is with free shipping. You are getting, I think, $55 worth of oil for about $26.99.
Great stuff. The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Watch him there this morning. Rest of the week, some great savings on things to make you feel good and look good as well. Granite, thanks. Have a great day.
Awesome.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. You get Mike Sports Mornings, 15 and 45 past. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Looked like a walk in the park for the Tribe in Chicago yesterday. For most of the day, it was. They had a 9-1 lead entering the eighth, but then the Sox rallied, had the tying run at the plate with two men out in the bottom of the ninth.
I don't think anybody in this ballpark saw this coming when it was 9-1 about a half an hour ago. Cody Allen's ready, and the 2-2 delivery. Swing and a miss. Ball game. Got him with a fastball. So Cody Allen stops the uprising here in the ninth. And the Indians win the series and win today by a final score of 9-7.
Yeah, the bullpen faltered. Allen did yield a triple, but then he finished things off for his 23rd save. Simber and Otero, rough days, as Terry Francona put it about the 9-7 win.
We talk about it all the time, wanting to get the tying run to the plate. Well, they did.
Whoa. All right.
That's your computer.
I guess it just blew up, Bill. Sorry about that. My apologies. And everything is, my screen has gone blank here. All right, so the Indians win that game 9-7. Melky Cabrera hit a three-run homer, and the Tribe now moves on to Cincinnati for the first of three against the Reds at 7:10. You can hear it tonight right here. Indians with a sigh of relief yesterday. X-rays negative on Trevor Bauer's ankle. That took a line drive on it on Saturday, and looks like he'll be okay for his next start, which comes on Friday night. While the Indians lead the division by 12, how about the Red Sox, who are now 50 games over 500? 50-5-0. They're 85-35. Browns back on the practice field yesterday, despite Baker Mayfield's play in preseason game one. Tyrod Taylor remains the starter. Bills come to town on Friday. Hugh Jackson says, despite a disagreement between himself and offensive coordinator Todd Haley about days off for guys on the show Hard Knocks that we saw, things are very cool between between the two. More on the Browns in a moment. Golf's final major of the year goes to Brooks Koepka. He wins the PGA by two shots over a charging Tiger Woods, who fired a final round 64. Best ever final round for Tiger in a major, but he came up short, yet keeping things in perspective.
I didn't know what the number was going to be this year. I didn't know how I was going to play. And so at the beginning of the year, if you said, yeah, I would have a chance, legit chance to win the last two major championships, with what swing? I didn't have a swing at the time. You know, I had no speed.
Looks like he's back. I think he's going to win a major eventually, but how about Koepka now? He's won the last two U.S. Opens and now the PGA. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Well, Antonio Callaway certainly showed pretty well in the ball game on Thursday night last week, and Callaway, we found out after his problem in Strongsville when he was cited for possession of marijuana. Well, he actually played the other day because Hughes said it was kind of a punishment to keep him out on the field. Normally in a preseason game, guys will be out there for the first half, but it was a chance for Callaway to play through the entire game.
Absolutely, that
Some
was the plan.
Interpret that as discipline.
It was. I was trying to make him play the whole game if we could. I didn't want him to come out. Because that was part of the consequence of what he'd been through, and he knows that. That's what it was. Either you sit him or make him play. I thought it was better to make him play. Make him play as long as he could. It was a couple of times he kept waving to come out. We said, no, stay in there.
Ironically, Callaway limited at practice yesterday. Browns host the Bills Friday night. With your Browns training camp update, I'm Mike Snyder.
The folks out there on the lines take all that verbal abuse, but to be able to stand up here today and nobody know that nobody was killed and nobody got hurt in our city is a little sense of pride there for our folks.
And that was Washington, D.C. yesterday. Our Bill Zimper joins us this morning on the rally. It was the one-year anniversary of what played out in Charlottesville, too, over the weekend. Right, Bill?
Yeah, Bill. And fortunately, this year, both in Charlottesville and in Washington, D.C., it was counter-protesters and police that far outnumbered any white supremacists. In Charlottesville, some of the permits had been denied for groups to protest, so the protests were mainly peaceful gatherings. And unfortunately, also in both locations, counter-protesters kind of turned their attention to the police, saying that the police were the problem as well. So, unfortunately, that was an offshoot, but as the officer said right there, in both situations, no serious injuries reported. There were a handful of arrests, but again, nothing big. These Unite the Right rallies turned out to be nothing in Charlottesville and Washington, D.C. over the weekend.
Lafayette Park, just outside the White House. Meanwhile, inside the White House, probably a few meetings and some concern.
He is truly a racist. This is a White House where everybody lies. The president lies to the American people. Sarah Huckabee stands in front of the country and lies every single day. You have to have your own back. It is hindsight, but I will say this to you. I was complicit with this White House deceiving this nation. I heard his voice as clear as you and I are sitting
you
here.
You have heard the tape.
I have heard
since
the
publication.
Is the president aware of what's going on?
Don't, let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion.
He's trying to sell books and settle scores, and you've got to be anti-Trump for those to be successful.
Kellyanne Conway at the end, a lot of Amorosa at the beginning. Boy, how's this going to play out? You got a book coming out, right?
Media Blitz is on, Bill. Her book officially comes out tomorrow, although there are advanced copies out there. Her book is called Unhinged, an insider account of the Trump White House, and yes, she has tapes. We heard the one yesterday on Meet the Press. That one that you played a little bit of there is her being fired by Chief of Staff John Kelly. But in the book, she basically calls the president a racist, misogynist, and a bigot. She goes on to say that the public really doesn't know how mentally declined the president is. It's difficult for him to process complex information, and he's not engaged in some of the most important decisions that impact our country. The White House firing back, saying that the book is riddled with lies and false accusations, and it's merely a disgruntled former White House employee trying to profit by putting a book out there. You're going to hear a lot about it, Bill.
She was one of the reality stars Trump brought into the White House, right?
Yep, she was on The Apprentice, and also Apprentice All-Stars later on, and turned out to be the highest-ranking African-American in the White House, on the White House staff. And she goes on to say that as she was fired, she was offered a $15,000 a month job to work on the Trump re-election campaign, where she says, well, the word work was in quotes, where she says she wouldn't have even had to leave her home.
Fascinating. The book comes out this week. Our Bill Zimper. Thanks, Bill. You're welcome, Bill. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Money tip on co-signing. Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planner, is with us this morning. Okay, let me ask you up front. Co-sign, you can throw out regular loan, student loan, parent, non-parent, relation. Do you separate any of that when you look at this decision, Kevin?
Yeah, you got to separate a lot of it because this is very common, Bill. I could come to you and say, Bill, we've been friends for over a decade, and I'm trying to buy this car, but I've had some problem with my credit, and I could afford, I got a job and everything, but can you just come co-sign for me? They need a co-signer.
Right, right.
But what position does that put you in?
Well, and Kevin, I saw you and your family were in the Bahamas last week, so I mean, if you were, you had the money to do that, I mean, all right, let me. I don't want to get ahead here. Kevin's got a few things to think through if you're asked to co-sign. Well, first of all, if I'm co-signing for a loan for somebody else, I'm guessing I'm on the hook. It could affect my credit then, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're originally what's happening is they're piggybacking on your good credit. So they may have poor credit. It may cause them to get like a 16 or 17% car loan, where if they could get a co-signer, then the car loan will go down to 2.5% or 3.5%. And so that's the main reason that they want to do this, is that it helps them get a loan they couldn't get without you.
So think about it. If a money professional won't loan to them, then there's got to be a reason if somebody's asking you. Okay, if the loan is not paid back, you're the co-signer, you're responsible?
Yeah, you're responsible in a big way. The bank looks directly to you, and they don't have to have a reason to come collect for you. If it's not being paid for any reason, you are 100% responsible for that loan. So think about it. It's just not signing something to get somebody a better interest rate. You are literally responsible for that loan legally.
Kevin Myroff at NCA Financial Planners. Four questions to ask yourself if you're ever asked to co-sign for something. And when it comes to this, it could and will affect my credit score then, huh?
Oh, you bet, Bill. And let's assume I do tug on your heartstrings a little bit, and you're
sure.
Like, okay, Kevin, I'm going to do this for you. And you sign up, and then you and your wife decide that you want to buy a vacation home, and you go to get the home, and they ask you have any credit. You go, no, we've paid off our house. We're good. And they go, but wait, there's a $35,000 car loan on this. So you're like, what $35,000 car loan? And then you remember that you co-signed for me, and they're saying, based on that, we really, we can't give you the loan. Sorry.
So my co-signing also then is a part of that big pool that the credit people look that I've got access to then, huh?
The second you co-sign a loan, it shows up on your credit report, and it'll affect your credit score. It'll lower because now you have responsibility for somebody's loan.
Okay. Can I get released if I've co-signed for a loan? How complicated is that?
This is a new thing. Some loans, the loan has to allow it. But if the loan will put conditions upon the original person, the person you're co-signing for,
mm-hmm.
if they meet certain criteria and could qualify for the loan on their own at some point, they'll release you. And so if you're like if it's your child and they don't have a job yet, and they're graduating college in a year and they're about to get a good job, you could be released from that one.
Interesting. All right. Well, think it through carefully if indeed you are asked. Kevin Myroff, NCA Financial Planners, with the tips on co-signing for a loan. News Radio, WTAM 1100. Kevin, thanks much. I'll follow up later on the car I want to buy. Maybe you can help me, okay?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, but have a great week.
Hello.
Everybody.
You too, Kev. Thanks. Team Neo kind of keeps track of all this and helps promote it. Their CEO, Bill Kaler, kind enough to join me this morning. Bill, thanks for the time. First of all, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Let's remind everyone first the mission at Team Neo.
Team NEO is involved in economic development throughout Northeast Ohio. That's the 18 counties. That includes the metro markets, Akron, Canton, Youngstown, and of course, Cleveland. We are also a partner for Jobs Ohio in their effort to cover the state from an economic development perspective.
So on promoting us, and every once in a while, you report on how we're doing, and that's the latest report from Team NEO. What are you finding?
Yes. So every quarter that we put out a report that looks at how Northeast Ohio is performing on the basis of employment, gross domestic product, per capita income, and productivity. And we're making a lot of good progress in a number of areas, and in particular relating to productivity and per capita income, some improvements in gross product. This particular month or quarter, we have a report that looks at the concentration of employment, some other factors relating to headquarters and professional service organizations, which have performed very, very well in Northeast Ohio in recent periods.
The nearly 2 million people at work or with jobs in this region that Team NEO that we're talking about this morning, their CEO Bill Kaler is with me. More in depth on this report, though, is Ed Corey at Bloomberg had a few minutes ago with me. This looks good for different sectors as far as supporting corporate headquarters, and those are good jobs, huh?
Yes. Corporate headquarters tend to have high-paying jobs in financial services or with finance people with finance backgrounds, technical roles, IT-related roles, things of that nature that tend to be high-paying and also very, very much in demand in the region.
Two sections of the economy I want to ask you about. Construction, overall unemployment at 4.8%, and most economists over the years, you get down below 5%, they pretty much say that's full employment. There's always somebody looking for a job, though, I guess.
Construction has done very well here, and it is true that our unemployment story has been continued to improve, but there's more opportunity for us.
You also made a note on wells.
Yes. With respect to drilling and wells utilization, that continues to improve. Productivity of wells continues to get better, which is a very strong story for the industry as we move forward.
Interesting report. A lot of positives to start the week here for Cleveland and Northeast Ohio. Bill Kaler, CEO at Team NEO. Bill, I appreciate your time this morning. Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Good report, and you'll see and hear more about that today. I know Cranes has a nice story on it as well. Northeast Ohio with the second heaviest concentration now of headquarters employment. 187,000 total headquarters professional services. Good job.
What he did at Shinnecock, you know, just bombing it. And then he's doing the same thing here. I played with him in practice round. He was literally hitting it 340, 315 in the air. And when a guy's doing that and hitting it straight and as good a putter as he is, it's tough to beat.
It's incredible. Looking where I was, sitting in my couch watching the Masters, and to think I would do this, I would have laughed at you and told you there was no way, no chance.
Kind of funny, Tiger Woods talking about Brooks Koepka the way people talked about Tiger Woods years ago as far as how far you could hit the ball. And Brooks Koepka, of course, wins the PGA yesterday, and what a Sunday it was. Jimmy Hanlon joined us to talk about it this morning. PGA Golf Pro TV host on 18 Holes TV, the Swing Clinic 2. Hi, Jimmy. Good morning.
How's it going, fellas?
Boy, that was fun yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, man. I'll tell you, that's exactly what golf needed. You know, it really didn't even matter to me, as I tweeted out, whether Tiger won or who won. It just,
right.
It needed some drama coming down the stretch, and they sure got it.
Well, they really did, Jimmy. I know you were talking about it on your show yesterday that Tiger probably would need to shoot a 64 to get in the hunt, and that's exactly what it took to make it interesting, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, and it was a crazy 64, too. I mean, every time he pulled that driver out of the bag, I would flinch. I mean, I was like, oh, boy, where's this one going? But he'd find a way to get it onto the green, and he putted just as good as I've seen him putt since he's came back.
Well, he was pumped up even on 18 where he probably knew that he had no chance to pass Koepka. It was quite a story. Though we talk about Tiger today, Jimmy, what about Brooks Koepka? My gosh, three majors already now and winning the U.S. Open and the PGA in the same year. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it?
I mean, he's just got every facet of the game. Kind of like Tiger was talking about. He drives it really good and you know, he putts it good, he wedges it good. There's no weakness in Brooks's game, and I think the biggest thing is he handles the pressure. He's just cool and just coming down the stretch in some of the biggest moments in golf, it just doesn't seem to affect him. He just keeps his cool and plays great golf.
You know, in many ways, he's almost like Kluber. I mean, you tune into an Indians game, and you see Kluber on the mound. You're not sure if he's up 9 runs or down 9. And the same way with Brooks Koepka, like he and Woodland, those guys just walk around nonchalant, you know, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, you just play the next shot, don't you?
I mean, it's probably easy to do that when you've got, you know, $10 million in the bank.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little easier.
You got net jets waiting on you afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
Right. But he really, you're right. I mean, that's a special type of person, as you know. I mean, we see some of the greatest athletes getting to the you know, the hot positions, and whether it's basketball, baseball, football, golf, and you know, it's hard to handle that pressure, and it just seems like he keeps it in perspective and goes at it, and good for him. That makes for a great player, and probably going to see him for you know, some years to come, win some more championships.
Jimmy, let's get back to Tiger just a bit, though. This year now, there's still, of course, plenty of golf, and he really is excited about the Ryder Cup, so forth, coming up. But the majors are in the books this year. When you see his progression this year, what do you think about him going forward?
Well, you know, it's funny, guys. I talked about it from the beginning. I really thought that exactly what happened is what would happen. He really was able to kind of find his way at the British and you know, put himself in contention at the PGA. And for Tiger now, it's just really Father Time is the only thing that scares him now. Seems like he's healthy. Seems like his back's going to hold out, you know, but, you know, he's getting a little older now. So, I mean, from his standpoint, he'll have to watch his schedule. I don't think we'll see him play as much as he did in the past, but going forward, he's a lock for the Ryder Cup team. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And we'll see how he plays in the playoffs. I mean, that's a lot of golf. It's, you know, I think it's 4 tournaments in 5 weeks or something like that. So we'll see, you know, how he fares from that standpoint. But I would be shocked if he didn't play some really good golf, you know, going there in the FedEx Cup and the Ryder Cup. He'll be a leader for sure. It'll be exciting to watch. And then, of course, we're all waiting to hear what happens with this big match over Thanksgiving weekend with him and Phil. And that's even more exciting now with what's going on.
Sitting there watching it yesterday, Tiger's in contention in a major, and the first commercial came up was Phil promoting that Callaway golf ball. That was kind of funny. You know, Tiger's in contention. Phil didn't make the cut, but he's, you know, he's still making some money pushing that Callaway golf ball.
Yeah, I mean, Phil's got it all figured out now. He's like, if I'm not going to play good golf, I got to find other ways to make it work.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing about this thing now is, I mean, as well as Tiger's played, I mean, Phil, I would guess, would be a pretty big underdog. I mean, Phil's going to have to get on that driving range, start working on his golf game, because it was a great thing to get this whole thing done, which it looks like it's going to happen. But, you know, if he plays bad golf, it's going to look bad on him.
I'm not sure if it's his dancing or his golf game he needs more work on, but we'll see. All right, Jimmy Hanlon, thanks, pal. Have a good week.
Thanks, guys.
First, bringing Congressman Jim Renacci. Tomorrow, Vice President Pence comes to Ohio, Cincinnati. He'll be talking taxes and the recent tax cuts and plans for the future. Congressman, I know you've been traveling the state, hearing reaction from people about the Trump tax plan, how it's been working out, right?
Well, good morning, Bill. And yes, as I travel the state and talk to individuals, they're very happy with what's going on. They have more money in their paycheck. Business owners are investing back into their companies, and they're investing in 401k plans. So in the end, this is growing the economy. It's one of the reasons why the economy's booming at 4.1% is because businesses here in Ohio are taking those dollars and putting them back into whether it's payroll or their company, and individuals have more money to spend. So the tax cut and jobs bills is working. The vice president's coming in tomorrow to talk about it, Tuesday to talk about it, and that's a key as I travel the state.
And unemployment numbers, you know, nationally, I think we're under 5%. A lot of economists call that full employment because you always have, you know, technically people between jobs or looking. I mean, there's a lot of positives in the economy right now.
Well, absolutely, Bill. There are so many people now that have opportunities, and there are so many jobs that are open. That's why I always go back to what I've been saying for years now. I wish we had Votech back in the schools, because most of these jobs are training certificates, whether it's a plumber, a welder, a carpenter, electrician. These trades are so important now. And we took that out of the high schools, and now we said everybody has to go to college, yet there are so many jobs available throughout Ohio if we just were able to get the right training for the individuals.
Good point. I'm sure you hear that from people that own, you know, manufacturing. I mean, my goodness, the salaries, the wages are great. It's finding the skilled labor seems to be a challenge.
Well, absolutely, and it's the stigma, because now we have told our kids that the only way they can be successful is to go to college. So there's a stigma about not going to college. But in the end, not everybody's meant for college. There are good jobs. We've got to get people back. We've got to get our youth back into the thought process. But let's get a skill set that gives me a job where I can live the American dream without going to college.
Good take. Vice President Pence in Cincinnati tomorrow, talking more about the tax proposals that are in the future, and of course what's been happening with the cuts in place. Congressman Jim Renacci. Sir, thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you. You have one as well.
Note that Terry Francona made the observation, the ride to Cincinnati had to be a bit nicer since they ended up winning that game, but how in the world did they get that close? 9-7 yesterday, Tom Hamilton joins us for Falls Motor City and your morning Indians update. Hi, Hammy.
Good morning, guys.
They do win the series. A lot, though, happened. Update us on a couple things. Edwin Encarnacion first.
Yeah, Edwin had that left bicep. They did an MRI on that, and it's nothing major or anything of that nature, but Tito felt like, you know, Edwin's played with a bruised right hand since really the All-Star break when he got hit in that Yankee game on that Sunday before the break. That led to him kind of changing his swing a little bit, and his extension was mostly with the left hand and arm rather than both hands and arms. And so that led to the bicep thing. So it's kind of like, you know, you start to alter things when you have an injury and then something else happens. So give him 10 days off for three games here, guys. Of course, you don't have a DH. So they felt like it was a good time to just shut him down for 10 days. And obviously, Yandy Diaz picked right up where he left off from that Yankee series. So he'll be fine. But, you know, that's the beauty, too, of having this kind of a lead where you can shut a guy down like that and get him back 100%.
And yesterday, Tom, they scored 9 despite the fact Edwin's out. Jose got a day off.
Yeah.
Frankie had a rough day. So that's an encouraging thing, too, isn't it?
Yeah, you have a new three-hole hitter. Kip goes, you know, with 3 hits, 2 RBIs. And Yandy Diaz, same thing, 3 hits, 2 RBIs. And that's, you know, guys, what they've been missing is, you know, they've relied so much on the top 5 guys in the order all season long that, you know, it was really encouraging to see Kip have that kind of a game. And you know, who knows with Yandy Diaz? Maybe he won't go back to Columbus when all is said and done. You know, he can make that case right now for himself. And he played really well, you know, in that Yankee series. They need that right-handed bat. He might be the guy.
Tom, it was a scary sight Saturday when Trevor Bauer took that line drive off of his ankle. What's the latest on him?
You know, he's still limping around, even last night here in the hotel when we got in from Chicago. But he maintains he's making that start. You know, there's no break or anything of that nature. So they still seem to say it's going to be good to go for the Friday game in Baltimore. But it's going to have to be a lot better than he looked again yesterday.
3 in Cincinnati. Off day on Thursday. Back here against Baltimore then Friday, right?
Right. Then right back on the road again. So this will be it as far as interleague play, which is good. Then you're done worrying about your pitcher swinging a bat.
I tweeted, hang with me, don't hang up the phone. I tweeted an interesting story. I'm sure you had this stat. The Rays and the Indians have the best team starting ERA. Indians at 3.84, Tampa at 3.82. But, of course, you know, the fascinating thing is seeing how Tampa's handling the starting role when it comes to pitching now. Right, Tom?
Well, yeah, because, you know, half the time they start a reliever.
Right.
Who goes maybe 1 inning, maybe 2 innings. And, you know, they're the novelist in this thing, trying something that's never been tried before. I still don't think it's going to work long-term, guys, just because, you know, how volatile is the bullpen each and every year, much less now start doing this with them as starting pitchers. So, hey, it's worked for them, you know, good for them. But I would be shocked if this became any kind of a trend. But,
yeah,
it, you know, something to talk about. And amazingly, we haven't seen that team yet. We haven't played Tampa or Boston.
We, of course, will stick with our Kluber, Bauer, Carrasco, and our Clevenger.
I think that I like that. I like the Indians formula.
Yeah, we'll be all right. Okay. I just wanted to know. All right.
There's probably a reason why this has never been worked on before for any long-term success.
That's why it's a topic on Twitter. Gantliano.com, Tribe Insider. I set you up for that one. Listen to that. We'll see you, pal. Thanks.